Thank you. That was very lovely. It is a well-known fact that the majority of doctors treat symptoms when there is a presenting health problem and not its root cause. Most doctors would say that they do not have the time to find the root cause and probably believe it is a researcher's job to find the root cause. When doctors or researchers can't find the root cause, they usually blame it on genetics. Our ancestors are usually the ones that bear the burden of the cause of the diseases that attack the body. So often I have heard someone say, "My mother had breast cancer, therefore I will have it too." Or, "Grandma had a heart attack, so did my uncle and father, so I am doomed to end up the same way." When we treat symptoms or blame our DNA, we are treating the appearance of disease and not the underlying condition, discomfort, or problem. Healing goes directly to the root cause, whether it is physical, mental, or spiritual, because there is only one cause for any problem that we have, which is the belief that we are separate from our source, from the substance of our being. But it goes beyond just a belief. It goes to what principles we accept and live under, how we think, and most importantly, what we accept as true for us. Today, most people are consumed with the economics of the world and the violence that appears to be growing. Yes, everybody's talking about the economic and violent state of many countries around the world, including our own. These thoughts with feelings and emotions become our reality. Just like believing that we are doomed to disease because we share the same genes as a relative. Sometimes we believe that we or someone else is being punished for some error, some sin, and therefore are destined to some horrible condition. There were people who believed this about tuberculosis, leprosy, HIV, and other illnesses. Healing's true purpose is to transform human consciousness. That is to take off the veils that cover up our vision to show us that we are not human, but spiritual. And once we have conscious awareness of our true identity, then do we know and live in the Christ consciousness. Human consciousness is full of discords, lacking peace and harmony and love, and tempts us into believing that our purpose is to have power, material wealth, physical strength, or to overcome some adversity. We must be single-eyed to see beyond these appearances, to be able to know and experience God's kingdom, which is our kingdom. Even those people who believe they have it all, power, wealth, and strength, there is still something lacking. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's a job. In divine science, we believe that healing is a process in mind, to know that we are spiritual beings with a birthright to peace and harmony, love, wholeness, and perfection. When we are not well, whether it is in the body, in the mind, bank account, relationship, or any other issue, instead of focusing on the problem, we must be still to allow God's presence to lift our consciousness so that He, Divine Spirit, can reveal His kingdom, and then we can see the nothingness of the appearance. The law of God is the orderly working out of the principle of being or divine ideas. Divine ideas will express from the Father through us, and they will manifest into creation, into our creation, our environment, our appearance out here. Only spiritual things are eternal and real. To serve the Lord is to keep the divine law, the law of right thinking. To know God, Jesus told us that we must have a pure heart. Now, while we are still here in this realm of human consciousness, we will face problems and issues and sometimes pain. There is no denying that. But we must also not deny that God lives within our being and that we are one with Him, whether or not we are experiencing Him at the moment. From experience, I know that one who practices the presence of God consistently can say that the problems that do come do not stay long and have little effect. Over 2,000 years ago, a master teacher walked among us. He taught us by example. When Jesus encountered someone with a problem, whatever it was, illness, hunger, blindness, fear, he did not ask questions. Can you imagine Jesus asking, "When did the symptoms start? Have you had this problem before? Does anyone in your family have this problem?" Of course not. I imagine he looked at the person and saw a perfect being that is living by divine law. Whenever a so-called miracle occurred, he would thank God. He wasn't thanking God for a healing. He thanked God for revealing truth, the truth of all souls. Jesus also feared nothing, for he knew that no matter how difficult it seemed, God's kingdom, His heaven, was real. Jesus demonstrated that the greatest fear we have, which is death, does not exist. The only death we need to concern ourselves with is to die daily to the mind that has limitations, anger, fear, jealousy, and that makes gods out of money, relationships, positions, bosses, and many other things. And let us stop asking God to make this world a better place. God's work is complete. He created a finished kingdom. That kingdom is yours and that kingdom is mine. He has nothing to do with the things of this world. The human consciousness has created the world we experience, not God. Since God has never been human, He knows nothing of what we perceive to be our reality. There is not anything in written records to show that Jesus asked God to do anything, with the exception of when he was in the garden and on the cross. Yet in both instances, he quickly corrected himself and said, "Father, let your will be done, not mine." Fanny James, one of the founders of Divine Science, says, "We see spirit as wholeness, and in this clear light, we see all things in the wholeness of spirit, for spirit is all. Our bodies truly are spirit, whole made of the changeless living substance. The body needs no healing. Our body needs no healing, for when we express our true nature, divine spirit, we are expressing God, His nature, His attributes, and His being. In the presence of God, there can only be wholeness, for God is perfect spiritual being." God is constantly expressing, for God action is always taking place. Until we can let go of the emotional attachments we have to this world and the things of this world, we will be stuck basically going back and forth. We have to have faith. We have to have faith in our Father. And we have to have faith in ourselves. I'm going to share a story with you that I shared 10 years ago. And I learned faith from this particular... I was a child. I was 13, I think, at the time. 2 weeks after I had begun the seventh grade, a letter was sent to my parents letting them know that I had not yet attended school that year. My father was extremely upset, demanding to know where I was, and I told him I went to school. My mother, the most calm I had ever seen her, simply said, "There must be a mistake." She said, She has not missed a day in the last 2 weeks. Well, my father wasn't convinced. Again, my mother stood firm and said quietly, I will go to the school to clear up this matter. But I know, no doubt, that she has not missed a day of school. The faith and trust my mother demonstrated in me taught me what it means to believe and have faith when there is no tangible evidence. That it is an internal knowing which gives us the confidence of its truth. My mother was steadfast. She did not waver. There was no hint of a possibility that there was any truth in what was said in that letter. My mother never asked me if I had attended school. She had full faith that I had. When my mother met with the school dean, he told her there had been a mistake. There were 5 girls with the same exact name, Maria del Carmen Rodriguez. Please don't call me that because that's when I was a child. I had been in school those 2 weeks. My mother's faith was right. In Psalm 139, we are told, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God can never leave us. Ever. This is faith and trust in God, that no matter what we do and where we go or what is happening around us, God is always with us. He does not judge. He does not punish. He does not even reward, for God is complete. There is nothing left for God to do. He gave us a finished kingdom. We were created spiritual beings in the image and likeness of God. God has more faith in us than we do in him. Yet God is not human. God is God, one in all. He is divine wisdom. There is only God. In Metaphysics 101, the first lesson we learn is that we must believe before we can see, experience, and know. This is true whether we are living from a physical sense of life, a mental one, or a spiritual one. But there is only one true eternal life, God's life, our spiritual life. In fact, because we believe in the human experience and trust it, it keeps repeating itself over and over again. Then we wonder, why do certain things repeat themselves? In order to know God, the first step in having a relationship with him is to believe in who God really is and let go of our previous views of him. Perhaps the part that is difficult to believe is not about God, but about ourselves. I've heard people say God cannot possibly be with that person because they are evil, just like Hitler and other people. That which we do from the belief in duality to powers will certainly not be from the consciousness of God. But that doesn't mean that God has left us. It is we who turned away from God because we had little faith. God is all in all, regardless of what we think of the person, place, or thing. For me, a first step to understand is that God doesn't belong to some, for he belongs to all. He is part of all, and we are all a part of the omnipresence of God. He is all in all. As an expression of God, his heir, our true nature, our reality is wholeness, meaning illness, sickness, health problems don't exist. Whether we love something or hate it, either emotion says we believe it is real for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By its definition, faith is complete trust and understanding, belief in someone or something where there may be little or no proof of where it is difficult to explain, because it is a knowing which comes from within us, not from the outside world. Mozart began playing when he was 5 years old. He had to have had an inner prompting that he could do this, and someone must have had faith in him. His father did. Jesus faced a lot of questions regarding his faith, even by his disciples. A reading from Mark chapter 4 will help to demonstrate this point. In the Bible, there are many stories that address the issue of faith and trust. My favorite is Luke 8:22. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? As we end this lesson, I want you to contemplate for a moment the intricate beauty of the butterfly's wing, or the petals of a rose. You will then perhaps begin to get a glimpse of the perfect plan which is in the mind of your Creator. You will know that all is good, all is working in obedience to divine law. It will help you to understand the working of the law and the wisdom that is behind the plan of your life. If we say that you have with you your guardian angel and your teacher, your individual master who knows and is a part of you, who understands every thought and aspiration of your heart and mind, God's love and knowing is always with you, for his work is finished. Now it is you who must do the spiritual work to experience our Father's love, wisdom, and peace. Let me share this meditation on love. Maker of the universe, which are all knowledge and power, I turn to thee for wisdom. Mind of the universe, thou art sharing thy intelligence with me. Therefore, I use my divine prerogative by claiming the mind of wisdom as my own. There are no mysteries that I may not solve. There are no joys that are withheld from me, for I am in God's universe now. I share that which God is now. I am under the law of the spirit of life, which God is. Now I am under the law of the spirit of life. And I acknowledge the supremacy of no other law. Since I am a citizen of God's kingdom now, I desire to partake of these things that belong to that kingdom. And I think that love, peace, and power are my birthright. I know that God has given me his love, his peace, his kingdom. And I now dwell in that kingdom. I shall not limit myself by human concepts of limitation. They have no place in the kingdom. I shall study the words of those who have found truth. I shall think principle, speak principle, live principle. My principle today, God, is love. He expresses love through me. I open my whole thought to the truth of love. I shall speak only words that are loving, constructive. Thus I obey the law. I acknowledge and affirm that which is positive and good. Thus I work with that which is true. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? Just relax your bodies. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Turn your focus within to your heart center The heart center is where love is found. God's love is always in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit. God is our one and only source. He gives us tools and resources so that we may awaken from the sin of separation, confusion, fear, pain, and suffering. He gives us spiritual understanding of His divine presence. We are of God, and therefore we are heirs to His divine knowledge, spiritual understanding, eternal love, peace, and harmony. Let us be still, so He may reveal Himself to us. Let us be still to serve Him and do His will. Let us be still so that those around us can sense Him and feel Him and experience Him. For our God loves us and knows us only as His beloved children. Let us be still. Thank you, Father, for your loving presence always with us, guiding, leading, showing us the way back to your kingdom. We are ready to be the instrument of your attributes, your grace, your joy, your love, your wisdom, your supply. We are ever grateful that your love is in us and with us at all times and in all places. We will turn to you over and over again so that we may know you and we may return to your kingdom. And so it is. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His love upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His eternal kingdom. And so it is. Amen.
Please stand.